your goodness that will lead us home. Thank you for your faithfulness, your grace, your patience, your love. Oh, we praise you for who you are today, for your promises, your presence with us this morning in this place. And together we pray that you would speak to our hearts, you would bless our gathering together in Jesus' name, that your Spirit would quicken our hearts and fill us and teach us, guide us in the truth this morning. Let your Spirit convict and guide and speak to us. Bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, God bless you all. You may be seated. It's a joy to be together this morning. As always, we really don't take it for granted, but we're so thankful. We dismissed the Sunday school. God bless them. I'm so thankful for Jeff this morning. I was just watching him lead the service and just thinking what a friend and blessing he is to me and to all of us. Him and Vi just served in this church faithfully, and thank God for you, really. And Ian and Jill, Ian, what a blessing he is as one of the elders in the church, and his heart to serve the church, and amazing. And look at this beautiful worship team. Each one, what a gift. And look at Dexter, what a blessing that man is. I was so blessed by him, yeah. And each one, thank you for your ministry to us. Who else can we? Oh, and last week I was looking at the ladies serving the coffee and the tea, and I just thinking, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for your heart and ministry to us. And Marina has gone out to do Sunday school, and there's a prayer request there. There's a need for Sunday school. We at the moment we're reduced only to Marina on that team, and it's been back and forth like that for a while. So we have a need. If you think that you could be gifted to teach a Sunday school class, maybe only every 5 or 6 weeks, even every couple of months would be a help. You'll be most welcome. If you offer your services and we say thank you, but maybe not at the moment, don't take that to heart. It's not everyone's forte, but let's be praying for the right people to be available and plugged in for the Sunday school. That's an important ministry in our church. Okay, are we ready? Okay, we're going to be looking at our Nehemiah, going back to Nehemiah this morning. We've had a journey through this book as a church. We're nearing the end, a few chapters to go. So we'll be in Nehemiah chapter 11 this morning. Before we go there and pray, did anyone manage to read the blog on our church website called Our Desperate Need for Fellowship? Anyone? Okay, this is your homework, because we wrote it, and I think it's a very relevant article in this time that we're in about our need for fellowship, and particularly if you're listening online this morning, have a read of that article on our website under the blogs, Our Desperate Need for Fellowship. And we understand we have to, each one has to navigate their way through this strange time we're in. And I know people are in different places about what that means for their life. But the truth is, we have a desperate need for fellowship. And however we find that, we need to find it in this time. So we all be led by God in that. But we need fellowship. We need face-to-face fellowship, one with another, where we're exchanging life with brothers and sisters. Amen. Also, special prayers for Sally and her family. She lost her father this week in the Philippines, so we're praying for you and your family. God bless you so much. And let's go together in prayer and into the Word. So, Father, we do thank you for this opportunity afresh. We do pray for Sally and her family and losing a loved one, her father. Strengthen and comfort again for the Tent family. your strength and comfort and guidance. And we thank you for this opportunity afresh to be gathered in Jesus' name in such a time as this, to have your word open, to have our expectation in you this morning. We ask that your spirit would quicken us, each one, and guide us in the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We remember the context of this wonderful book that we've been journeying through together. It's a very special thing for a church to go through a book. All that God gives us through his word when we take a journey like that is so important. And we have the sermons on our website. If you've missed any, you want to catch up. But we remember that God led a remnant to return to Jerusalem under Zerubbabel. And then Ezra returns, and then finally Nehemiah returns for the building of the wall, the rebuilding of the wall. After they have completed the wall, they are gathered before Ezra the scribe. He is teaching the word for hours. They are standing before it, and there is conviction in the heart. That's chapter 8. And then there is the confession of their sin, wanting to align their hearts with God. That's chapter 9. And then chapter 10, as a people, they make a covenant and a recommitment to the Lord. Confession chapter 9 and the covenant chapter 10. We remember some of those points relating to not wanting to enter into idolatry through intermarriage, wanting to keep the Sabbath, and also giving to the house of the Lord. And this is how chapter 10 ends. It says not to neglect the house of the Lord. So a fresh commitment or a covenant the people make to the work of God, to the house of God, to God himself. And we know as Christians in our lives and in our experience how important that is, that fresh recommitment to the Lord. We could say at the beginning of a new year, at the beginning of a month, every Sunday, but more than that, every morning, there is that fresh recommitment as we look to him and trust him for a spirit-filled life, an abundant life. The picture for us, and these things are written for our instruction as New Testament believers, the wonderful picture of Israel and the temple and desiring according to God's will for the temple to be central in their life as a nation. And if you think about Israel and Jerusalem and the temple right at the center, rebuilding the city and the wall, it found its purpose in that the temple was central, that they were called and had a desire to have God at the center, and how much that applies to our lives also, that we want God to be at the center, his house, his people, his will, his purpose, his work, to be central, not peripheral in our life. And that realignment happens again and again, thankfully, particularly as we are hearers of the word and the Spirit of God convicts us, that realignment happens again and again and God is kept central. So as we go into chapter 11, it starts with saying the leaders of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people cast lots to bring one out of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem. So remember that the city, the walls had been rebuilt, the gates had been hung, the people had rededicated, and now there was the need to repopulate the city. What's the point of rebuilding it and rebuilding the wall if there's no one living in the city? And this was seen as an important need. The leaders were dwelling at Jerusalem already. At least the main leaders had moved into the city, and some still lived outside. But all the people still lived outside and in other cities. And of course, we understand, because yet the houses hadn't been rebuilt fully. The city, parts of it were still in ruins on the inside. It wasn't so desirable to live in the city for that reason. And also, the city was targeted by enemies. in some respects, there would have been more safety and convenience to live outside of the city and in the countryside for agriculture and other reasons. But there was a need, we would say even a calling, for some to make that sacrifice and commitment and to respond and live into the city. So one of the ways they resolved this was to cast lots, that that 1 out of 10 would live in the city and 9 out of 10 would live outside of the city. You may remember this need was highlighted back in chapter 7. You remember? Back in 7, I'll read to you in verse 4, it said, "The city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses were not rebuilt." And Nehemiah says, "And God put it into my heart to gather the people, and I found the register of the genealogy of those who returned." Remember that? How did Nehemiah motivate the hearts of this new generation? By reading the genealogy or the registry from their fathers and grandfathers who had returned, wanting them to see that they were part of a story, part of a work of redemption that God was doing, and for them to continue in their chapter and their part in the story. And then, of course, there was a little parenthesis time of reinstating tabernacles, etc. Chapter 8, 9, 10, we reviewed that. And now we're in chapter 11, and he revisits this need for the city to be repopulated. So they cast lots, verse 2. "And the people blessed the men who willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem." There were some who willingly offered. Now we don't know if these men are among those who cast lots. In other words, the lot fell on them and they did it willingly. But it seems that there were some who said, "Listen, you don't need to cast lots for us. We'll volunteer. We'll move to the city." And it says the people blessed those who did that. And I love this phrase. They willingly offered. They willingly offered themselves. And this is an important part of church life, of the Christian life, of what should be the heart attitude of a grace believer. It's not by obligation, I'm not forced to do it, but I willingly offer myself for the Lord, for the people of God, for the work of God. I volunteer, I lay my life down, I say, how can I help? How can my gifts be put into action? Where can I stand? How can I serve? And we see that in the body of Christ, and it's a beautiful picture. Some might be tempted to say, well, I feel like I don't do so much in the church. I feel sometimes all I do is show up. And that's what we see here. They say, listen, I don't know what we can do, but if you want someone to dwell in Jerusalem, I'll do that. And they dwelt in Jerusalem. They were in the place that God wanted them to be. Don't ever underestimate what it means just for you to be in the place that God wants you to be. Because God can do so much with a vessel that is in the right place. They willingly offered. And the people blessed them. Don't you love that? The people called down a blessing on them. Oh, God, bless these people. And we say those words. And when I say that, I mean that when I say it. And I hope we all do. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. We believe that God does bless people, that we can evoke a blessing on people. And that's what happened here. That they were believing that God would bless them for their sacrifice and their move of faith. In verse 3, these are the heads of the... No, okay, I can't move on. Before that, one last comment, 2 Corinthians 8. Do you remember in the Corinthian church, Paul makes note, and he says... He makes the note that some of the Corinthians, again, gave themselves. It says they exceeded our expectations and first of all gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God, Paul says. How beautiful this is in body life. And there are churches filled with people who are serving by the sweat of the brow, and they do it not willingly, not in the spirit of grace, not joyfully. They may be serving, but they are not serving joyfully and freely to the glory of God. But that's our privilege. And you can only serve freely and joyfully if you are living in grace. and you are living by the Spirit of God. Okay, verse 3, and all the heads of the province who dwelt in Jerusalem, these are the heads. And this is one of those lists in the Bible. And as Bible students, we have learned that these lists are significant when we understand the context. Why, under the inspiration of God, does he cause these men to keep these lists of people, listing names and villages and families of these people? It's so precious and so valuable to God. He says, these are the heads of the province. Verse 4, also in Jerusalem dwelt some of the children of Judah and the children of Benjamin. The children of Judah, and there it is. This is where the list begins. He says, and you'll be so relieved to know that my pronunciation is perfect on every one of these names. I've been professionally trained. No, I'm kidding. I'm sure I'm going to, you know, I won't endeavor to try each one, but Athaiah, the son of, and look through that list, the son of, the son of, the son of, the son of. It names the person and then gives a little bit of his genealogy. And in most cases, the son of, the son of, leads us back to the list in Ezra 2, in the beginning, when the remnant returned. And these people now who are moving into Jerusalem, or who were leaders, those who were built at the wall, were the grandchildren of those who had originally returned. What does that tell us? It tells us that decisions that we make by faith today can affect future generations. That there will be some who will be serving in future generations because you are serving today. It goes on in verse 5. And Messiah, the son of, there it is again, the son of, and each one of these could tell stories about the investment, about the faithfulness, about the challenges, and how thankful they are for those who had gone before them. We often rehearse those stories together as well. Do you remember when we meet for coffee, how often we talk about our journey? And we could say, oh, there was this person and this spiritual father, or this person who invested in me, this person who led me to the Lord, this person who invited me to church, whatever it might be. And those generations of faithful saints are so important in the work of God. Verse 6, the sons of Perez who dwelt at Jerusalem. And here there are some numbers given to us. Well, 468 valiant men. And I love it that the author, Nehemiah, under inspiration, takes the time to say valiant. This isn't just a raw list without any detail. But when he gets to the sons of Perez, he has to say, oh, valiant men. Because he knew them. He knew their lives. He had seen their testimony. He knew their history. So when he lists them, he says, oh, these are valiant men. These are men of courage, men of faith, who are ready to live in Jerusalem. And if it means they have to defend the city at the wall, I know these men will do so because they are valiant men. Verse 7, and the list goes on now. Of Judah listed, and now Benjamin. These are the sons of Benjamin. Look here. Salu, the son of, the son of, the son of, and it goes on. Verse 8, and after him, Gabai and Salai, and here's another number, 928. Not 927, 928. The numbers are significant because God counts the righteous. God knows the righteous. The lists, the names, and the numbers are important. For in Hebrews 11:6, God is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love. God is not unfaithful to forget the sacrifices that you have made in your life. When you took up your cross, when you ministered, when you made a decision at the crossroads to honor God rather than go the other way. That is counted, that is listed, that is remembered, and the Bema seat will be a place where you will be honored according to those decisions of faith. Verse 9, Joel, the son of Zikri, was the overseer, and some more details are thrown in now, and Judah, the son of Noah, was second over the city. So an overseer and the second is listed. There is order and responsibilities in these lists. Verse 10. and of the priests. And of course, the priests were there to serve their particular function. And all of this is such a beautiful picture of what we might call body life, that we have the body of Christ, the church. We are not just an organization, but an organism. We drink of the same Spirit. We are gifted according to the Spirit, and may we seek God, that our gifts may be used in our ministry and in our service in the church. Verse 11 goes on, and Sariah, the son of, there it is. It says he was the leader of the house of God. That's quite a responsibility, isn't it? To be a leader over the house of God. We don't know exactly what his responsibilities were. Perhaps some of them were behind the scenes. Perhaps he was just organizing certain things. We don't know exactly. But was it important for him to be in his place? Was it important to him to be faithful? Of course it was. How it affected everything else. Those who would enjoy the house of God maybe wouldn't recognize how important it was that he was leading in some measure behind the scenes. And we say the same about church life, with deacons and elders and trustees and ushers and servants that serve behind the scenes, how important that is for the function of the house of God. Verse 12, and their brethren who did the work. And there it is. You got leaders, you got priests, but here it says their brethren who did the work of the house. And how could the house function unless there were those who did the work? And again, they are numbered. 822 of them, not 821, though it could have been. But these men stepped forward. These men were available to serve and to do the work of the house of God. Verse 13, and his brethren, heads of the father's houses, and there it is, another beautiful number. For each one is valuable, each one is recognized, each one has their own particular portion and gifts and strengths. Verse 14, and their brethren, look at this phrase, mighty men of valor, were 128. Again, as Nehemiah writes, he knows these men. He knows their history. He said, oh, listen, you want to sit down? I could tell you stories about these men. These are mighty men. These are men of valor. They have a history. You know, when the enemies came up against Jerusalem before and we held our swords and our tools, oh, these men, these were front line. These are mighty men of valor. And we could say that about brothers and sisters in our own church family. Men and women of valor, men and women of courage and faith and commitment and sacrifice. And I personally don't take it for granted when people step forward, when people are faithful, when people draw near in such a time as this in our world, what is happening? And yet we draw near by faith. We make sacrifices. We believe God. We are not intimidated, but we are people of faith. We are mighty men and women of valor, not through our own strength and our own, trusting in our own selves, but we are mighty through grace, mighty through the Spirit. Verse 15, and also of the Levites, all the Levites, and how they serve relating to the sacrifices and the spiritual life. This is right in the center of the purpose of Jerusalem. They're serving in the temple. And it says, at the end of verse 16, it mentions this one who had oversight of the business outside of the house of God. And again, we don't know what all the details would involve, but how important it is to be faithful to the little that you are given in your life, to be faithful to the ministry and the opportunities of faith that you and I have. Be a good and faithful steward. Verse 17, and Mathaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of the leader. Look at this phrase. The leader who began the thanksgiving with prayer. That's what's said about him in this list of names and numbers. And all of a sudden, the one who began the thanksgiving with prayer. This was one of his responsibilities, and he did it out of a heart of passion. He did it not just with words, but with deep, deep thankfulness and prayers of faith, and he led the people so. And we know that there are people whose faith is contagious, whose faith affects us. We see their thankfulness and we hear their prayers and it affects our life. And this man was one such man who was remembered for his thanksgiving and his prayer. What a beautiful thing to be noted. And then it says, the second among his brethren, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun, and verse 18, all the Levites in the holy city were 284. The Levites serving in the holy city. And this is a beautiful phrase, the holy city of Jerusalem. God's city, where his name is, where his pleasure is concentrated, where the beginning and the end, or this city is central in the program of God. It's called the holy city, for it is a city that is set apart unto God. Verse 19. Moreover, the gatekeepers. Don't you love this? The gatekeepers. There, Akab and Talmon, and their brethren who kept the gates, 172. And we studied those 10 gates around Jerusalem together and how those gates were important to be open and to be closed, to let people in and to keep people out. And there's a spiritual application to our lives also, the importance of gates and discernment and what we allow in and out of our lives and hearts and ministry and guarding our hearts. And these men, again, this was their responsibility, and how you could easily belittle that. Oh, what do you do? Well, I'm just at the gate. I open the gate at this time, and I close the gate at this time. Oh, but how important that is to be a gatekeeper, to be a doorkeeper, to be a servant in the house of God. Verse 20, and the rest of Israel, of the priests and the Levites, were in all the cities of Judah, everyone in his inheritance. And this is an important word, isn't it? In God's covenant, in Israel's history, that God had promised and given an inheritance to the tribes in the land. And I've been very honored to have gone to Israel many times with tour groups and been a pastor leading the groups on the sites. And there's one particular site we go to at the back of Nazareth, and it's on a high vantage point. And as you look off that vantage point, you look across the Jordan, you look across the valley, you can look across to the Mediterranean in the distance, and you're thinking about looking down to Jerusalem, and you're thinking about the land. And I remember one time I got my Bible, and I opened it to the back of the Bible, and there's a map that shows the allotments of the tribes. And we could see it. We realized, oh, where we're standing, this is the inheritance of Naphtali, and this is over there, that's the inheritance of Asher, and over there, and somehow it ministered to us so greatly, because this is literal land with borders that is given as an inheritance to God's people. And part of God's program will be showing his great faithfulness in that full inheritance in the future to come. So that note, it ministers to us when we read the word inheritance, because it speaks of God's faithfulness and his covenant. Verse 21, but the Nethinim dwelt in Ophel, and this was within the wall. They dwelt within the city in a certain region because they were servants in the house of God. And Ziha and Gishpa were over the Nethinim. These were those who served perhaps maybe menial duties relating to the temple, bringing in water and things that were needed for the sacrifices, perhaps bringing in wood or whatever it might be. But again, how important it is. And as we look at this list and read these names, I hope this is what is ministering to us this morning. The great privilege and the great need in serving in the body of Christ, that every portion is valuable, that every one of us in 1 Corinthians 12:11 has a gift of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us has an important, irreplaceable portion in the body of Christ. And when I come here, I don't only come here for me, but I come here for you. And when you come here, you don't only come because it suits you and it meets your needs and it blesses you, but because you bless others. And my gift is you for you, and your gift is for me. So don't keep it from me. Don't hide it from me. I need it. You need it. We need it. We need each one. We need your gift. We need your portion. We need your life. And let us draw near by faith as God may lead us, in these strange times. Where are we? Verse 22. And also the overseer of the Levites at Jerusalem was Uzzi. I don't know if that's how you say his name. Uzzi or Uzzi. But there it is. The son of all these faithful men. Look at the end of the verse. Of the sons of Asaph, the singers in charge of the service of the house of God. There's your verse. I know you're waiting for your verse. The singers, oh, how important that is. Not just in a church service, but in the life of every believer. A song, singers, worship. We should be people of worship. You say, well, I don't have a very good voice. Oh, we'll make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't have to be beautiful harmonies, but it's praise from the heart. And if we have to sing through a mask or not, it doesn't matter. We sing from the heart. And God hears it and God loves it and rejoices in that. And this is an integral part when you look at Israel's history. If you would take out all the singing and all the instruments, oh, there would be something desperately missing. And so it is in our church life as well. We are people who have a song in our heart and in our lives. We are people of not just of songs, but people of worship. How crucial that is, isn't it? For believers, singers, songs, worship. Verse 23. For it was the king's command concerning them that a certain portion should be for the singers, a quota day by day. That was given. Verse 24. Pathaniah, the son of the children of Zerah, the son of, was the king's deputy in all matters concerning the people. And this meant that this man was an advisor to the Persian king. Remember, they had been allowed to return, but they were still dominated by Gentile nations. And this man related to the Persian king about certain matters. That was an important connection regarding Jewish affairs, etc. It was estimated, perhaps, when you look at this list and study other sources, that there may have been 8,000 to 10,000 that would be in the city. And if you look at the list, there were those who simply dwelt in the city, their leaders, workers, valiant and mighty men, we noted, those who oversee the gatekeepers and the singers, all in this list. And they were faithful. And each one was important. Here's some principles that we could gather from this passage. I'll read them. The first one I noted was that each person is counted and precious to God. Your name, your portion, your life. Number two, every labor done in faith. Every labor done in faith is remembered by God. Number three, your gift, your portion is given to you for the body of Christ and is crucial in the church and the work. Number four, without every portion, something is lacking. Number five, the final rewards are determined on the basis of faith and faithfulness, not your natural strength or public applause or being noted by people, but serving faithfully and quietly as unto the Lord. Number six, steps of faith now can make a difference to future generations. And lastly, this is our opportunity. This is our generation to serve God and to serve His people. The chapter finishes by listing, I can't go back. Okay, it doesn't matter. The chapter finishes then by not listing the names of men or families, by listing the names of the villages. And it takes this time, verse 26 to the end of the chapter, to mention this region and this town and the villages that would surround it. Why is that? What is the beauty in that? Again, the beauty is that Jerusalem is the center. And the towns that surrounded, and the villages that surrounded, so to speak, in the hearts and the lives and the minds of the people was the facing Jerusalem. For Jerusalem was at the center. The temple was at the center, or God was at the center, or should be. And of course, there were times where they strayed, but they were made for this. And you and I, we are made for this, that God would be at the center. For we have our family lives and our physical lives, etc., but we have our spiritual lives, which affects all other areas. And may God be at the center each day. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning that we could look at what might be an obscure passage, a strange passage to look at in the Word of God, or what could we draw from this? Oh, but there is much for us, much for our lives, as we see your work through your people to bring about your will. And we're so thankful to be a part of that in a small way in this little local church, with our gifts and ministering one to another, with our prayers and hearts extended beyond to people in our community. Oh God, use us, quicken us, anoint us. We pray for your work, for this time, for this season, for this chapter, for this new year. We ask you to go on above and beyond. Move us personally and as a church. Move us, guide us, lead us. We ask and pray. We pray for any here this morning or listening online, and you are not sure of your salvation. Oh, listen, salvation is a gift that was paid for by Jesus, and a gift that is freely offered to anyone who will receive it. And in your heart this morning, say, oh God, I want to receive that gift. In Jesus' name, I believe that Jesus loves me and died for me and paid for my sins and made a way for me to have eternal life. Save me today by grace through faith and lead me in the way everlasting. We pray by your Spirit this week in our reflections at the small groups and in our quiet times, you would bring some of these things back to remembrance and you would use them to guide us and speak to our hearts. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's stand and worship together. And...